Today, privacy and network security exposures continue to be on the rise. Organizations, especially within the public sector, need to be aware of the potential exposures. In this edition of the ACE USA podcast, we'll speak with Paul Cunney and Toby Merrill from ACE USA about privacy and network security, understanding the risks, and maximizing solutions within public entities. With us on the podcast today are Paul Cunney and Toby Merrill from ACE USA. Paul is Vice President of ACE USA's Public Entity Unit. The unit specializes in underwriting multiple lines of coverage for public entity individual risks and pools. ACE defines public entities as political subdivisions, agencies and authorities, public and private schools, K through 12, and colleges. Paul is based out of ACE's office in Jersey City, New Jersey. And Toby Merrill is Vice President of ACE USA's Professional Risk Unit. He oversees the technology and privacy network security liability product, and he's based in Philadelphia. We held this conversation in ACE's Philadelphia offices. Paul and Toby, thanks for joining us today on the ACE USA podcast.
Happy to be here.
Likewise.
Today, privacy and network security exposures are on the rise. Organizations, especially in the public sector, have to be aware of the potential exposures. Toby, based on this, it seems that breaches can happen more often than organizations realize. Can you talk a little bit about some of the current exposures that the public entity sector is seeing?
Sure. According to the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, as of August 24th of this year, there have been 124 known breaches in the public entity and educational sector this year alone. 61 of those breaches involve some form of government, more specifically, district courts, special districts, fire and police departments, tax and revenue departments, and health and human services. Breaking it down a little further, of the 61 governmental breaches, close to 10 million records may have been compromised. When we take a look at the educational sector, 63 of the 124 reports made this year came from this field and involved more than 1.2 million records. These breaches impacted all types of educational institutions, including K through 12, community colleges, and larger universities. In looking at the current reported breaches, it's important to note that they included the following: unintended disclosure, hacking or malware, payment card fraud, insider breaches, physical loss or non-electronic information, lost or stolen portable electronic devices, lost or stolen stationary devices, like desktop computers, and breaches where it's just not known how the data was compromised. Our experience also confirms the increasing privacy breach and security concerns in both the public entity and educational sectors. When combined, approximately 9% of ongoing breaches reported to us come from these sectors, with lost computer hardware, including laptops and hard drives, system hacks, and rogue employee actions leading the way. I would also note that the number of incident reports have increased dramatically over the last 2 years.
With these breaches on the rise, it's certainly clear that the public entity sector is susceptible to privacy and network security attacks. Paul, what kind of responsibility should the sector take when notifying individuals of a breach?
Well, based on the statistics that Toby provided, it's clear that the public entity sector is certainly not immune to breaches, and they have a statutory responsibility to notify individuals when breaches occur. Depending on various laws, public entities have a similar level of responsibility as private and public companies do in notifying individuals in that their personally identifiable information may have been accessed. The types of personally identifiable information they need to report on can include social security numbers, medical or healthcare data, protected health information, driver's license numbers, state identification numbers, credit card and debit card numbers, addresses, telephone numbers, account numbers, account histories, passwords, and other non-public personal information as defined in various privacy regulations. Public entities should also keep in mind that in addition to their notification responsibility, there may be numerous costs involved that will fall back to the entity after a breach occurs, such as legal costs, forensics, public relations crisis management, drafting of notification letters, postage, and credit monitoring and restoration services. According to the most recent studies from the Poneman Institute and the Net Diligence Cyber Insurance Loss Claim Survey, the cost of a breach can range as high as $3.7 million to $5.5 million. Costs can include retaining an attorney knowledgeable in privacy law and regulations, third-party forensic firms, public relations and crisis management firms for advertising and related communications, the drafting of notification letters and costs of postage, as well as credit monitoring and restoration services. It's important that a public entity follow the applicable notice law and ensure that each individual is properly notified in a timely fashion so that both individual and entity can move forward in rectifying the situation and any future issues stemming from the breach.
Toby, knowing the relative risks and responsibilities, are there some prevention tips or steps that could benefit public entities from future security breaches and risks?
Absolutely. There are a number of steps that public entities can proactively take to help prevent future breaches, including having fully functioning in-house privacy policies that all employees have reviewed and are trained on, conducting regular reviews of third-party providers to ensure they adhere to your contractual requirements and regulatory requirements, ensuring regular network security assessments are performed by a reputable third-party provider, and fixing vulnerabilities when they are identified, having a payment card industry data security standard audit performed to ensure compliance if you accept credit card payments, classifying the organization's information as public, for internal use only, or confidential. In other words, properly identifying the information on hand that is deemed to be more sensitive in nature than others, and requiring additional measures to ensure that information stays secure. Mandating standards for heightened protections based on the classification of the information. For example, encryption, access control, data handling retention, and data destruction. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of encrypting sensitive data. The cost of encryption technology has dropped considerably over the years and is a very effective tool in protecting sensitive data and could even prevent a public disclosure of a data breach. These are just a few proactive steps a public entity can take. Paul, I know this is an area you spend a lot of time on. What else would you add?
Well, Toby, I would also add that they need to consider these additional steps. Implement access controls for mobile devices, such as laptops, smartphones, or home-based desktops. Implement internal access control with regard to who can access sensitive data. Establish enterprise-wide records and information management guidelines. And lastly, create incident response plans in the event of a breach and test them on a regular basis. This would include identifying the decision makers within the organization. Organizations are often surprised how quickly certain breach response decisions have to be made. It's not the time to figure out who will be making the decisions and what departments need to be involved in during a breach. Organizations should also understand the nature of data stored on their systems and investigate third-party vendors that can assist them in the event of a breach. It'll be much more cost-effective to develop a pre-breach relationship with a vendor rather than seeking emergency assistance after a breach has occurred. Certainly, reach out to your insurance carrier, which may already have relationships and negotiated rates in place. These are just a few of the ways a public entity can protect itself and mitigate future reputational, legal, and operational risks that may occur in the event of a privacy or network security breach. Taking a proactive approach can go a long way in helping to prevent future breaches.
Paul and Toby, thanks for joining us on the ACE USA podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'd like to remind you that the views expressed in this program by Mr. Cunney and Mr. Merrill are their own and do not represent those of ACE USA or any of the ACE group. The material presented in this podcast is not intended to provide legal or other expert advice as to any of the subjects mentioned, but is presented for general information only. Listeners should consult knowledgeable legal counsel or other experts as to any legal or other questions they may have. ACE USA is the U.S.-based retail operating division of the ACE Group and is rated A+ superior by AM Best Company and AA- very strong by Standard & Poor's. ACE USA, through its underwriting companies, provides insurance products and services throughout the U.S. Additional information on ACE USA and its products and services can be found at www.acegroup.com/US. This program is copyright 2012 by the ACE Group. All rights are reserved. For everyone at ACE USA and the ACE Group, thank you for joining us and take good care.